The first time I met Lane Miller, he was sitting in the storeroom at Merchant Music, packing CDs for other artists. You know, the dusty and the and I was thinking by myself, Lane, you, I mean, I didn't even know you were an artist. I thought this was like a like some temporary job you get to fill up a holiday or something like that. Hello, Lane, how are you doing?
Good in yourself, Janine. It's good to talk to you again. Thank you for taking my call.
A long way from there. But before we introduce the whole story and get into the journey, tell me about yourself now. The Lane who's got family and a personality and a life at the moment. Describe yourself.
Okay, so I am, how do I explain my personality? I would say I'm very introverted, passionate about music, passionate about God, and passionate about artists. And then I think that's one of the reasons why I ended up in a storeroom with close to artists, listening to marketing meetings in the next room that you were running so that I can learn. I'm always learning and I'm always excited about life. I'm a father of a 3-year-old son, married to a beautiful wife from Pretoria, whose father is a big global understander. And
shame.
I've been in the industry, the music industry, for the last 10 years, either by myself as being an artist, singer-songwriter, but also as an agent and management company that I'm running by myself. So, yeah, that's in a nutshell who I am. And also a worship leader at my church.
Okay, well, you're going to get to that, but I'm first curious. I mean, I didn't see the middle part from the storeroom to the microphone. give me the journey, because obviously there's lots of people with hopes and dreams. Tell me what it took to get there.
So I think, being teachable was the starting point. And I think that was the reason for ending up in a storeroom with a bunch of CDs, because I wanted to learn the business side of music. I realized a lot of artists, they just want to sing and make music, but they don't realize if you want to make a living out of it, you've got to understand the business side of things. So that's why I ended up in the storeroom. I wanted to learn, and that's exactly what I did. So I ended up buying shares in a small record label, and we started distributing my music because I understood what the business side was about. Also, from there, I took an internship in a company called Clear Entertainment that did the artist management, because I wanted to learn that part. So if you're willing to work for free, you will always learn something. Especially if you take a job like in the entertainment business, there's not a lot of money when you start out. But if you are willing to learn and work for free, you get a free education. So I ended up doing an internship for about 3 years with Clear Entertainment in Johannesburg. And was involved with international artist management, learned how to do it, and then met my wife, got married, and we decided we wanted to move to Cape Town. By faith, we took the step, moved to Cape Town, and then I opened my own artist management agency. And that's where I am until today. For the last 5 years, I've been running and, managing artists and booking shows and writing songs.
Yeah, but the whole music industry has changed drastically. I mean, we don't even have CDs in it. Do people still do CDs? I know they make the music of the CDs, but CDs can't be printed anymore, can they?
No. Look, I mean, I think CDs are now digital, and that's one of the learning curves for myself, because I've got a whole bunch of CDs in my storeroom that I can't even, so it's still a, how do you call it? It's a souvenir. So when you see a show, someone would still buy a CD. But for the most part, after music are closed, there's no real need for printing CDs anymore. Most of it is online. But it's not all bad. I think the good thing about it is that your music stretches across borders. You know, if you bought a CD, you could only buy it at certain places where it's available. Where now, if you're living in Cairo or New Zealand or wherever, people can listen to Lane Miller, which is it's a wonderful thing for me to know, that I have listenership across the world, which is a blessing.
But one thing that's very important is the people around you. I mean, I've especially when I work in the Christian music industry, you see so many people who feel like God is blessing them with a cheap producer, and then they get songs and stuff that's really not up to standard. But the problem is, absolutely, when it's out there, it's out there. I'm sure you must have learned the hard way, especially that you better do it right from the start or you'll go nowhere.
Absolutely. And I think it comes down to investing in your own music and investing in your career and your calling, because I think you can always you know, anybody can record a song. But you know what? The public is the judge. You know, they will listen to the music, and if it's good, they will stream it and they will share it. If it's not that good, you will see it in the numbers, because I think my music only started doing well when I had proper producers, spend some money, and made sure that it's up to standard, because I think that is, the public is the judge. They will decide if it's good enough or not.
Yeah, and now you're also part of artist management.
Yes.
So you know it from both sides, which is actually great, because you can manage better if you understand from all the sides exactly what it takes. So from an artist management side, what makes a really good artist and easy artist to work, one that you love investing yourself in?
I think an artist that is not sitting back and asking everybody to do things for them. The artists that I work with are, you know, artists that have been doing it for them by themselves for a long time. I just came alongside them and started writing with them. You know, the artists need to understand that they have to take ownership of their own music and their careers. It's only when people start signing their ownership away to someone else to run it for them where I feel, you know, it gets fizzled out, and it, you know, someone needs to drive it. And the best person to drive your career and your music is you. And if you are invested in your own music, then I see people growing in that way. That's the people that I love to work with, because I'm a hard worker myself. I've got a strong work ethic, but I run at full speed. And if you're not running alongside me, then unfortunately you're going to fall by the wayside, because that's how you can't be half stepping in the music industry. You have to do it full time and give it all you've got. Otherwise it won't work.
All right, but then there's also this perception that now that there isn't CDs to sell anymore, that it's very hard to actually make it to be a full-time artist. I mean, I get the perception that so many more people have got their own job, and then the artist thing is must something they do at the side, because it's all digital and you only sell one song at a time, and the money you get per song is so little. Tell me what's real.
So the real is performances. You've got to take the music to the people. If you are sitting back and thinking you're going to make money just off a CD or a stream, you're living in a dream world. And I think also diversifying your brand, you have to do shows, perform, but also there's other avenues. I mean, I've been writing songs for film or for television, and that's a way to earn some money from your music. But it's not something that you can't just focus on one thing. That's why you see a lot of artists are jack of all trades. You know, we do different things with the music, either artist management or brand association or marketing. Artists do different things. You know, I saw some artists promoting a skincare. What does skincare have to do with music? You know, a lot, because I think the artist is a person and, you know, they have skin. So there's a way, there's an affiliation there to be able to partner with brands and make a living from that. But it's, yeah, like I said, it's not just one thing. It's a few things that you have to juggle to be able to make a living.
But to you, that must actually be great, because you the kind of person that gets bored easily. You need to be challenged and have, you know, to diversify, to keep yourself involved the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes it interesting for you as well. You know, there's new challenges, new adventures. And I also feel like there's a stigma about the music industry. You know, I had this idea that I would move to the city, be discovered in, you know, at a performance, and then be signed to a record label, and all of a sudden everything, you know, is worked out for me. That's not always the case. You know, a lot of these artists, you know, get a quick reality check when they sign a deal, and they realize, oh, I actually have to work. I have to get up in the morning and do some work.
Shucks.
I can't just sit and do, you know, write music. So, yeah, and it makes it exciting. It gives you self-worth. It gives you purpose. And I've always believed my music has purpose in this world. And if I believe that, then I'm willing to work for it. And that means, you know, like I mentioned earlier, doing different things to get the music to the people.
But that is something that qualifies you. It shows that you are different, because a lot of music that is created in South Africa that's out there playing on radio stations, a lot of it is fluff. But there is space for people, you know, like Yoshana Derien or whatever, who want to go deeper, who want to think a little more and have lyrics that aren't just superficial.
Yes, absolutely. And I think this is the case with my latest recordings as well. in the beginning, my first recordings, if I just think back now, is I was always so focused on trying to sing perfect, trying to, you know, have a well-rounded album and, you know, make the songs make sense, which is great. But I also think there's an emotional element, a spiritual element that needs to come through in the music. And with the approach for my latest recordings, the producer was actually fantastic at doing that, trying to get the emotion across instead of just being, you know, having this perfect track. What he would do is I would start singing and then he would stop me and ask me about the song. What is it about? What are you thinking about when you sing it? Get me into that space of, oh, this is actually a song for my son. And then he would play a voice note of my son over my ears. And then I would sing the song. And I promise you, it comes across differently. There's not a lot of music out there with spirit, with emotion. You know, you can sing a song perfectly, but it can still just be a song. No, but this this was a different approach for me, and I can hear it in the music. My voice cracks at the end of the song, crying, and we left it in. You know, we finished the song, and I think that connects with people, and that's what music can do. It can take you to that place, to that emotion. Even an upbeat song, a happy song, you know, can bring you to a place where you're feeling so down, and the song can bring you to a happiness. But then there has to be real emotion about it. It shouldn't just be about selling, you know, music. It's just be about experiencing music.
Okay, I am curious about something, because you don't only have exposure to the Christian market. You're out there, you're everywhere, because of the way that you package your music. You literally can go anywhere. And I want to ask you, now obviously, you have the opportunity to sing, and I'm saying this in inverted commas, secular music versus a worship song, for instance. Is there something different inside of you when you connect with music that has got something spiritual to it versus when it is a love song? Because there's nothing wrong with a love song, but there's the God with or God without. Do you experience something different?
So here's the core of being, Janine. I am a worshiper. I'm a full-time worship leader at my church. I do it every other Sunday. I lead worship at my church. But that's not my career. That's not where I make money, because I feel like that's my tithing, but it's still my core. When I sing and when I use my gift, I don't want to put it under a bucket. You know, I want to put it on a lampstand. I want to put it somewhere on a hill where people can experience the message of what I'm trying to communicate. And I think that's what I mentioned earlier as well, is the spirit in the music is always the Holy Spirit. It's always from God, for God, whatever I'm singing. So to use the same chords that the secular artists use for another purpose, it's going to sound, you know, it's a secular approach, but there's still a spirit behind it. And I believe people that know me know that my testimony stretches way further than just a love song that I'm singing. So when I'm writing a song for my son, I'm writing it in the spirit, and I'm singing it in the spirit. And I believe that comes across in my testimony, because I think if my testimony was different, you know, I would be in the clubs every weekend and I would be drunk and I would be, you know, living in the world. But I'm seeing these songs, people would connect it with each other and say, oh, but his testimony is different, so he must be a secular artist. But I think your testimony stretches further. Your lifestyle, who you are, every day-to-day life. Are you a good father? Are you a good mother? Are you being loyal? Are you faithful? And that comes through in the music, but the music needs to connect with your lifestyle. And I think that's where the link is for me.
Yeah, I've had incredibly, intense discussions with Christians sometimes, who feel that there are beats and notes and whatever that belong to Satan and some that belong to God. And I mean, with scriptures, like, everything is for him, to him, and through him. There is no such thing as a note that doesn't belong to Jesus, or a cat, a rainbow, or whatever. Nothing, not a day, not the 31st of October. Nothing belongs to Satan. It all belongs to God.
I agree with you. There's this beautiful scripture where I think it was Paul who was confronted by some of his disciples saying, these people are casting out demons in the name of Jesus, but they don't even believe. And he said, what does it mean? What is it to me? You know, if God is glorified in it, you know, what is it to me? So I think, you know, I don't know if it's related, but I think there's an element of whatever music I use for the glory of God, it still gives him glory.
Yeah.
If a bird sings, he's worshiping, because doing what God gave him to do. It doesn't matter what song he's singing. You know, I'm not saying that you should be singing songs that, you know, are blasphemous. I mean, obviously there's sinful nature in people as well.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there. But you know what I mean. I mean, if you're singing to the glory of God, it really comes across in your testimony.
And people know who you are, hey? So I'm wondering, because obviously lots of performances happen at festivals and or you know, events where a lot of artists get together. Now you're in the back and now this is this green room and people are relaxing beforehand. And then obviously they know who you are. They know who's the one who's the the flirt and the ronslapper and the whatever. And they also exactly. know the person who goes home, spends time with you and loves Jesus. So does it ever come into play, this thing that you're actually a Christian?
Yes, I try to share my testimony. I've got this thing. I have my old testimony tattooed on my arm. Now that's quite controversial in itself, but what that does, it's a conversation starter. So people ask me about the painting. It's called Forgiveness on my arm, and it's Jesus holding a man, and that opens the door to conversations.
Oh,
but this is what it's actually about.
Mm.
All of a sudden, I get this opportunity to speak to a person who would never set a foot in a church. But now I've got the chance to share my testimony through something very, very controversial. And that's what I feel about my music as well. You know, it gets me a foot in the door to be able to shine and to be able to share my testimony.
Okay, no. I'm curious now. Tell me the story.
Okay, so I've got on my forearm, it was about a 10-hour long session where I put a picture. It's a painting called Forgiveness. I can't remember who the artist is, but it's a Jesus holding a man with a ripped jean, and it looks like a drug addict, but he's holding a hammer and a nail while Jesus is holding him from behind, and Jesus has got, you know, the holes in his hands and his feet in this picture. So it's just this picture of, you know, this guy is a sinner, which is all of us, and he's got the hammer and nails in his hands. He's the guilty party. But still, Jesus is holding him very passionately and you know, embracing him, just to say that even though we crucify Jesus, he's still holding us.
Okay, but how's that part of your testimony? How?
Okay, so that's grace, right? So the other side of my arm is a lion. So there's grace, but there's also authority. You can't just have grace without the authority, which is the lordship. And the one side is the grace. Look, you have grace. God has forgiven you. He loves you. But then if you have come to faith and you've repented, then you need to understand that you're under his authority and you can't just live your life the way you want. Hmm. So that's where the story comes in for me when I try to explain to people, you know, he's become both Lord and Savior. He's not just the Lord or just the Savior. He's both Lord and Savior in your life. And then there's also these depictions of the crucifixion, you know, the crown of thorns. And I just explained the whole story, what it means to me. My brother was a big drug addict, and I had to bail him out of, you know, rehab a couple of times. And a lot of times we were so moodless and so disheartened about his situation. And we just kept praying and praying and praying. And by God's grace, he's saved now. He's married. He's got a few kids. And it's just an amazing testimony that I also bring in, because the picture on my arm is kind of this drug addict guy, but there's Jesus holding him. I always link it back to that, depending on what situation I'm in.
Okay, but you're also, because, I mean, you're surrounded by people with a very liberal point of view so many times, and who are irritated with you trying to get your Christianity off and everything like that. I actually had a discussion this past week where you realize that truth is not welcome.
Because
it's true doesn't make it welcome. And also it confronts your perception whether what you believe is true. And how dare you say what you believe is true and someone else, what they believe is not true. Has it been challenged, your faith, through all of this?
Yeah, well, I think the crucial thing for me is not to try and force it down anybody's throat. I like that old parable that Jesus shared about the seed being sown, and some of it fell in good ground and it grew. Some of it fell between the thorns. Some of it fell on the road and the rocks, the birds came. Yeah. And so I think there's also ready ground and there's not so ready ground. And you have to be discerning about where and when and how you share your faith, not to come across judgmental or try and forcing it down someone's throat who's not believing. I always believe that we're not called to be advocates or lawyers for the faith. We're called to testify, but what do you call it? Chtayas. What is it?
Testimony. To testify to your faith.
You have to testify. You're not called to be a lawyer. I don't have to convince anybody. The Holy Spirit does that. I don't even save people. All I do is I share my faith. I share what I've experienced and what I have, come to believe. And then through that, there's seeds being planted or not. But it's not my job to save. I'm not a savior.
This is the truth. This is the truth. Well, let's get to your music. Yes, okay. This is the new single now.
Yes.
So obviously you had gone through hard times. I mean, hard times is one of those things that challenges your faith, whether what you believe is actually what you believe is when you go through the hard times in life. But you work through it with a song. So tell me, what is it that you went through and how did you get to the song?
Yeah, I think I won't share the extent of it. It's quite personal for me and my wife. But we went through a time where we were really disheartened about something and experiencing some loss in our lives as a family. And we were really obviously full of questions and sadness about this. And the one thing that I try and always do is I try to journal. I try to write down my thoughts and in prayer, and I try to really bring it before the Lord. But I need to formulate it in my mind and understand what I'm sad about and why I'm going through this. And part of it was the song that I wrote. I wrote it in my journal. And then, the lyrics started coming. I actually had this melody in my head on a piano, and I couldn't understand, what it was for. And I truly believe God, sent it as a comfort. And I started writing it on the piano first, and then I took my journal and connected it with the lyrics. And it just came out so encouraging for me and my wife. And we just felt like this is something that maybe the world needs as well, because we're working through some things. And music can be such a healer in a way, where it brings you in a set of a mindset. It takes you from a certain. I mean, this, I was thinking of this scripture where I think who was it? I think it was David who played for Saul, right?
Yes.
And and there was like a spiritual element to it where the dark spirits would dissipate when he started playing. And I think that's the power of music a lot of times. God uses it. And I think for us, the more I sang this song, the more I realized it might be something that can encourage anybody. And just to say that it's, life is ups and downs. Life takes you through some dark valleys sometimes. But, in that place, you can still emerge if you keep the faith and know that there's a helper. Do not be afraid. Yes, okay.
You're okay. Okay, people want to connect with you, with your music, stay up to date with what comes out. Where do they go?
Yes. They can go to my website. It's called www.lenmiller.co.za, and there's a link to my music side and also my agency side for any queries regarding artist management. But for my music, you can just go through the links in order to YouTube, Spotify. I'm also obviously on all the social medias. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, wherever you look for Len Miller or Lenny Miller, you'll find me.
Miller as in MULLER, not MI.
That's correct.
LLER.
Yes, MU, MULLER, yes.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's play the song. Yes, okay. You are okay. Don't you worry. God's got you. It's by Len Miller. Have a listen to this.